Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're doing a reaction to week 10. And this is a fun week. The Mahomes game late. You got some better bounce back performances this week from teams that struggled in recent weeks. And I'll just say with the Mahomes thing, I mean, some things aren't that hard. And like, there's a reason why Mahomes is the most valuable player in all of Dynasty, because his shitty season is elite for anyone else. Like, that's where he's at. And frankly, like, all the narrative stuff's overblown. Surprise, surprise. You know, and I was listening to a podcast this week, and someone was talking about, like, oh yeah, I'd rather like build my team around like Matt Ryan at quarterback, use all the other assets, and take an elite player like Patrick Mahomes. Like, you reap what you sow, and this is a the elites matter so much, and then you can just build around him. You know, you can build around him, and you have Tyler Conklin in your flex. Like, you can go really cheap and really flexible, and the 4, 5, 6 guys that can truly make a difference, and then you're just building around them. And that's just, it's another case of that this week. Like, if you have elite players and they do elite things, like, it's really tough to lose. Like, it's really tough to screw that up. And, you know, I put out a Twitter poll, today, and I was thinking about this a lot. I was like, you know, would you rather have someone recommend, you know, basically be like, hey, I'm really good at picking players, you know, follow my strategy, or hey, I'm really not good at picking players and follow my strategy? Because I think the person that's saying, you know, hey, pick my players, I think they're basing a strategy that, hey, they can get the players right. It's really tough to do. And then when you see, some people do that and how they perform with it, it gives you some pause, right? With us, like, hey, there's a strategy to this. And, like, hey, here's where we should take our bets, typically. And here's where we should avoid our bets. And, you know, elite quarterbacks make a difference, right? And that's, I think, the thing that, if there's one thing from Analytics Dynasty that changed from maybe 2 years ago to now, I would say, especially in Superflex, the more we play it and the more we sort of learn about it in particular, it is really consequential to have good quarterbacks. And it's, you just, they bend the arc of your team. That's really, really tough to do at other positions. Like, it's expensive, don't get me wrong, but it's an expensive, right? It's an expensive taste at a largely stable position. And when you think about that, like, it's really, can really make an impact. So seeing guys perform well today, and then seeing guys that don't, and sometimes, like, the stuff that we do, we go cheap. And, you know, I was a big fan of Matt Ryan coming in this week. Like, I'm not dumping on Matt Ryan by any means. But, like, there's a difference between the elites and the not. And, you know, you see it this week. You see, I mean, just look at the top of this board, right? You see Dak Prescott. You see Josh Allen. This is pre-Monday Night Football, or Sunday Night Football, like, actually posting the stats. It takes a little while for them to hit the actual line in terms of, or, you know, the football guy's sight in terms of points scored, but he's going to be up at the top. You see three of the top, what, 5, 6 assets, right? Like, making a big difference. Then you actually come down and you see some guys that we like. You see a Trevor Simeon, you see a Kirk Cousins, you see a Mac Jones for that matter. But then you just sort of look down and you see the bottom of the position, and some of the, you know, Matt Ryan scoring, you know, negative points in some formats this week. That's really tough. You know, Colt McCoy, like, if that was a spot start, like, that didn't really turn out well. Goff, Mayfield, like, you're just looking at the guys at the bottom with less than 7 points and gets FFPC. So don't, you know, hold me to that super aggressively. But Mike White, another one. You know what I mean? So, like, when you're making these bets, like, it's it can be really tough. Again, you get disappointments. Like, you had Russell Wilson be a disappointment this week. Like, by all means, it happens to us. It happens to them all. But just the consequence of having an elite guy and really, you know, striking when they hit, it can be really, really a big deal. So I think this is another example of that this week. Okay, so some injuries and some stuff that I think is warrants some things I'll be paying attention to. I think the biggest one, it's no secret that we're in on AJ Dillon largely. I was actually surprised he's not like a top five owned running back for me or top five rostered running back. It's like 30 some odd percent, but it's just there's more than there's guys that have more shares. And honestly, it's funny because I didn't even start a ton of Daryl Williams this week. Like I had a ton of Daryl Williams, but I don't know, maybe I played him like 60, 70%, something like that. I did go against him with like Dearness Johnson in a couple spots. Like that didn't work out, but yeah, so like AJ Dillon, you know, if this Aaron Jones injury, I think it's going to be a big thing to watch. I have a theory, and I don't know anything with regards to this, but I'm curious to see how this week goes, because what every injury expert said was like, hey, I didn't see a sprained MCL mechanism. Like that's not what I saw. Which is like, okay, well that's interesting. Like no one saw what the Packers are saying was there. Like it's obvious that he hurt himself. Like there's no, like this isn't a, you know, happened behind closed doors or, you know, in an unfilmed practice like with the Robert Woods thing. And no one saw it. I actually wonder if there was an injury there pre-existing that wasn't limiting him, but he was sort of, you know, playing through and it just caught him right. And I wonder if that's what happened. Again, I have no reason to. I'm totally speculating. This is baseless speculation. But I just, from, you know, having played hurt, and, you know, I wouldn't have made an injury report, you know. I probably technically wasn't limited in practice, and like I've done what he did, right? Which is like, all right, I played and I had to make a throw, and like I had basically no, you know, I had no juice in my arm. I was dealing with what ended up being, I found out a lot later, a pretty bad shoulder injury. I didn't realize it at the time quite how bad it was. And, you know, I make a throw and it's just totally debilitating. And it didn't blow out on that throw. Like, that's not what happened. But it was totally something different that I was either masking or I was hiding, frankly. And, like, those things pop up and that's what happened. So I that's initially with all the, I'm wondering now, the curious thing to me is like, hey, he, you know, they come out and say, hey, yeah, he tested positive or, you know, they did the whatever the mechanics of it or whatever and said that he has a sprained MCL. I almost immediately when listening to some of the stuff, I almost immediately thought, hey, he's got a torn meniscus because it's like related to the MCL. Like I almost immediately went there because it just didn't, right. That he's basically nursing that was sort of my initial thought. So we'll see. Again, it's total speculation, but to me, based on all the facts, it actually doesn't, to me, it seems like something else is going on other than what they said. So who knows? We'll see if it was pre-existing or whatever. I hope he's okay. You know, I hope it's just, there's another theory out there too that I should give, you know, what the hell do I know? But, so there's my theory, which is the, you know, he was actually injured coming into this and it just caught him right. Versus, there's actually an injury. And I think this is pretty interesting is that when you sprain an MCL that might not heal all the way back. So like you can play, but it might feel a little loose or feel a little tight. And typically it's like a loose injury is what Dr. Gene always calls it. And, you know, if you're doing the testing on that, like you might feel there's a sprain in the MCL. He had a prior sprain in his MCL a couple years ago, I think 2019 maybe. And so that could be a lingering effect. So if there's something maybe more there, so we'll see, we'll watch for Monday, that there could be something more there, or that there's not actually that big of a deal, that he just, you know, had this MCL, that just sort of made his knee. And as a result, like, it's just, you know, when you know, he caught it just right or whatever, he's not actually that hurt. And when they tested him, like, it's more, they thought it was more serious because just the way his knee exists day to day is just different than a normal knee that hadn't had a sprained MCL. So it's uncertain. So I'm open to all sorts of ideas until we get the until we get some actual official stuff. I'd expect to see it like Monday because I'm sure he's going to go for an MRI first thing tomorrow morning. We'll get an idea. You know, they have a week 14 bye, so a couple weeks. Dr. Jean says, you know, outside of it being extremely minor with an excellent MRI, like, he would expect to see him out a couple weeks. So, and that's kind of that 1 to 4 week range type deal that we see. And I think Aaron Jones missed a couple weeks with both of his MCLs and prior. He sprained MCLs in both knees in prior seasons. I think he missed 2 weeks. The first one, the knee that he sprained right now, he missed a week. He missed 2 weeks. And then the other one, I think it was the end of the season. He missed like the last week of the season. They might have a bye too. So he missed a couple weeks there. So I would expect, you know, maybe we get a couple of spot starts from AJ Dillon. We'll see. But I think that's going to be one to watch for and monitor. Gronkowski is another one that has some injury stuff. Again, he didn't play this week. That Washington game was wild. They went down the field. It was like almost 20 plays, something like that, like 10 minutes and 26 seconds, and just gutted the Buccaneers at the end of the game. I've been fascinated by this Bucs team because since day one, it was like this fait accompli that teams just couldn't run against them. You know, and it was like week one where Dak, like, you know, it was like 90%+ or some crazy pass to run ratio. And I was like, wait a second. Like, Kellen Moore's like, yeah, like, listen, we called, like, you know, it was like a 60-40 split in terms of like from pass to run. Like, it wasn't that extreme, but Dak just checked out everything. And you're like, oh, wait, okay. And now, like, the strategy is just taking hold where it's like, oh, yeah, we're, you know, everyone's just going to throw. We're scared to run, yada, yada. Then all of a sudden, like, they get run on, and then they get run on again. Now people can run on the box. Odd. No one had tried it, but everyone just had accepted it was true. It's just interesting. So we'll see if that maybe changes some offenses against them. I was just really curious about, like, you know, everyone did it. And then Khalil Herbert comes out and, like, pounds him. And you're like, wait, what? No one had tried this yet. And Khalil Herbert got it. So I'll be interested to see sort of what this does in terms of changing some offense. And maybe that hurts some of the, you know, the possession stuff. Ultimately, in terms of the volume, and that's what we saw happen a little bit here. Again, it's not going to be this extreme. I think they played like 50 or sub 50 snaps. It's not going to be that extreme, but you know, it is something to watch for in terms of maybe changing a little bit of the narrative, or the narrative and the total volume of the Buccaneers offense. Barkley is potentially on his way back. So again, he had that ankle sprain, then he was COVID reserve. You know, so watch earlier in the week is kind of the thought, and see where he is. Kyler, hopeful, probably likely to play for this week. McCoy hurt his, I think it was a chest injury, rib injury. Yeah, he got hurt on a hit. And if he's going to be out, Chris Strieveler. So I'm going to do a little research on him. I don't know a ton about him, other than I know that they got absolutely whitewashed. So we'll see there what we'll get a little bit more data, and I'll include some of that stuff in the snap reactions for this week. But hopefully Kyler's back. So that's kind of the goal. CEH and Chris Carson, hopeful to sort of be back next week or two, is sort of the thought with both of them. So we'll be perusing that. Again, I'm wondering how much of the job Darrell Williams gets back. And when we could go back and look at when Clyde Edwards-Helaire was working back into the offense, when he was injured last year, and now he's basically going to be doing the same thing. And like Darrell Williams played pretty good at the end of last year. Like he was doing a good job, and he was serviceable for them. And then in the playoffs, like he still didn't really give the job back. And then the regular season comes around, and here we are. But he was very, very involved in this game. So I'll be interested to see what Darrell Williams can ultimately offer. Couple weeks probably for Logan Thomas, notably Ricky Seals-Jones injured this week. So I know he's a guy that, especially in some of these premium formats, we've been, I have certainly been relying on as a flex, as a tight end one where it's been pretty grungy. So we'll see there. John Bates, 47 snaps, 17 routes, 3 targets. So not anything we're going to be writing home about, but is available there and probably available in like 28-man leagues. So I think Logan Thomas is probably going to be back, and Bates is probably not going to be a long-term option or anything like that. But at least at right now, at present, like this isn't going to be him becoming, you know, Dalton Schultz isn't my expectation. But I think he is an interesting name. And again, we'll see how Logan Thomas potentially comes back. And this could be one where you say, hey, you know, if you've got sort of the roster spot, it's a cheap ad or whatever. And then, you know, if it just doesn't work out, cut him. But that could be a potential thing to watch for here in a couple weeks. Some other stories here that I'm interested in watching for. Ramondre Stevenson comes out, huge game, really nice performance there. They blasted Cleveland. So that's interesting stuff there. He's involved in the passing game some too. So we'll see what his role is with Harris. You know, I still think Harris is probably your starting running back, but it's nice to know that Stevenson can play. Like, I actually think that's a really good, that's like a good sign. You don't get a ton. Sometimes with these guys, you might take, you know, a couple years. Like, we haven't really gotten a ton on Dylan about whether or not he could play. Now we get more now, but like, it's nice to know, and he can play, we think, you know. But it's nice to know with a guy like Stevenson, you know, can he play? And it's like, yeah, he can. And it's early too. So now we can, you know, we aren't just frittering away a roster spot on a guy that we didn't know stinks. So yeah, it'll be, it's good. Even if it's not, you know, even if it's he reverts back to being behind Damian Harris, it's still good, right? It's still good to sort of have this information and know this stuff. So excited certainly about that. And, you know, he I think cements himself as with an injury away, you know, viability at worst. And there was a lot of question between him and J.J. Taylor. So having that information really, I think, does shape that roster spot much better. So really excited there about Ramondre Stevenson from that angle. A couple other ones that I just found. I just did some initial notes. So Cordero Patterson looks like he may have left with a high ankle sprain too. So we'll be watching that earlier this week. Gallman played ahead of Mike Davis. So that's notable. We'll be aggressive on Gallman this week in the event that there is a long-term Patterson injury. Notable snaps here for Dallas's wide receivers with Gallup returning. 51 snaps for Cooper, 41 for Gallup, 32 for Lamb. Stop me if you've heard this before. 33 routes for Cooper, 21 for Gallup, 22 for Lamb. So, again, the lack of overall play time is, I think, notable. Again, he ends up leading with 8 targets, 5 for Gallup, 4 for Cooper. He has the big blow-up game. That's great. I, again, still have concerns about the Gallup angle, about him playing a lot more snaps than Lamb. Is this a scenario where, hey, they get out to a big lead and they just play Gallup and Cooper a ton? Maybe, but it strikes me odd that you would play Cooper that much ahead of, you know, ahead of Lamb. So I'll just be in that way, you know. And if Lamb has earned time off, it's stunning to me that Cooper hasn't. So I think it's certainly an interesting situation there. Mark Ingram performed well, 57 snaps with Kamar out. That's notable there. Marcus Johnson had a big performance for Tennessee, and basically was their number two in terms of their wide receivers. So that's notable. Foreman ahead of AP, 21 snaps for Foreman, 11 carries, 20 snaps for AP, 8 carries. McNichol, 16 snaps and 4 carries. I know that some people are going to be pounding on Matt Breida this week. He only had 8 snaps, so don't blow your budget. I know he did score twice, but again, don't blow your budget. Josh Palmer's playing more. Total split here between Travis Homer and Alex Collins in terms of snaps. 31 snaps for Homer. Only one carry. He ran 23 routes. Here's the notable thing. 30 snaps for Collins, 10 carries, and then 18 routes he's running. So some interesting there. Complete split with the running backs in Philly, although they are using a ton of volume. So those are some of the bigger, I guess, storylines or things I'm going to be watching for, paying attention to here in the next couple days here as we get moving along, heading into week 11. Notably also, 66 out of 71 snaps for DeAndre Swift, 33 carries. Their offense is horrible. And so Swift is the basically big blind spot. And I'm going to do some Hockenson trades this week just because I'm going to be interested to see where they are at. All right, well, that'll do it for this edition. Your week 10 review. I will have quarterback stuff. I want to look at some of the younger guys just because, you know, we're halfway through. Again, not huge, huge sample size, but I'm curious. And then we'll do your running back rundown, hand grenade, snap reactions for the running back position. I'm doing them all together again just because it makes, like, I don't know. I like to do like a kind of nice, long, detailed thing where I sort of talk about it all instead of like chopping it into multiple pieces, because I just don't think it makes a ton of sense to do it that way. And I don't need to post, you know, more podcasts. That way you guys can listen to them. And if I can just give it to you easier, like, I'm just trying to make it more convenient for everyone and a more thorough and well-rounded conversation there. And then, you know, we'll do wide receivers, tight ends. I don't have a theme for wide receivers and tight ends yet. I kind of like when I did it together at the position. So we'll see. Maybe I'll do AFC, NFC. I'm not sure exactly yet how I want to tackle all those. But I'll be having plenty of content for you this week. I do have trade show, so be excited about that one. I'm going to flip the script a little bit in the trade show. So we'll see here. I'm excited about that one for sure. And be on the lookout for all that stuff. Your rebuilding guide as well is out there. And if you're listening to this, use your promo code and get your discount. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. The home stretch is here. We'll talk again very soon.